Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a headline from the Daily Mail. Exclusive, : Meghan and Harry's new home sits behind a spooky estate once owned by the schizophrenic son of the inventor of the mechanical reaper who developed a foot fetish carrying his slippers in his arms as if they were live pets.
I kind of like don't want to know what's behind this. I just want it to live as a headline that like I actually don't know the history behind. But it's not even their house. It's a house that's next to their house.
Which is why this is not a story. I was like, they're living in that house, and then you realize it's behind the house.
But even if they were living in that house, it's not a story. I mean, really, not really a story.
It's a funny lineage of like, it's funny house lineage, I guess. Oh, you know, we used to, like, that's something that I could see Meghan being like.
Funny house lineage.
A funny house lineage. Like, oh, well, you know who used to live here? Like, that's a story. But the fact that they live behind it kind of means nothing. And in all the photos of this Daily Mail story, it's like just photos of Harry and Meghan's house. I'm more interested in this guy.
Also, if you don't think that like, if you don't think that like at least 80% of the houses that cost over certain millions of dollars were owned by people like this at some point, you don't know your house lineage because, you know,
you've never heard of Howard Hughes or like you've never seen Citizen Kane.
Exactly. Like it's like one in three, you know, in terms of if your house is worth over XXX million dollars, you know.
You're telling me one of the richest people in the country at some point in time built a house where they did some freaky shit? Like, right. Wow. Wow. I'm shocked. Harry and Meghan's mansion was built in 2003.
No history. There's always time to make some.
The schizophrenic son of the inventor of the mechanical reaper who developed a foot fetish and carried his slippers in his arms as if they were live pets was built in 19...
Right. This
at some point.
These convenient bullet points go right from that to the Sussex home features 9 bedrooms and 16 bathrooms along with games room, gym, tennis courts, and tea house. And it's like, okay, we've moved on, I guess. There's just no connection. It's just like it's next door or
the
nearby.
The media is, they are trying to make them, I mean, in a way, it's an effort to shame them. Because I think the main thing the Daily Mail wants to do, or a lot of the British press wants to do, is like shame them over how much money they spent on this house in America, of all places. And it's,
I mean,
like
I think they just want
million.
To bring up the house repeatedly so they can repeat the same mm-hmm. information. It doesn't matter right. what the headline is. It's just as long as we get back to the point that Harry and Meghan bought a house in Santa Barbara or whatever.
Mm. So don't be rude to this dead person who clearly had some issues. That's very rude. Okay, what else is breaking news? What else? Oh, you know what? We know what's broke? We know what broke? Lea Michele's water. It broke. And she gave birth to the baby, the bebe, finally, with Zandi Reich. Are we happy for them, I guess?
Of course we're happy for them.
New life.
Of course we're happy for them. It's a baby. It's very good. Good for them.
She gave birth to her son.
Ever Leo.
Ever? Like the first name is Ever?
Yes, like Ever After.
Oh, there it is.
Like Happily Ever Leo.
I thought you were saying Everly O, as in the initial O, but it's Ever Leo. And it was a People exclusive. That's mm-hmm. what I expected. Okay.
Ever Leo.
That's all we have to say about Ever Leo. We can talk about Massimo and Lori, who got sentenced Friday afternoon, after we recorded.
Do you have any regrets?
In a virtual hearing Friday, actress Lori Loughlin got emotional as a judge sentenced her to 2 months in prison for her role in the college admission scandal.
They avoided the crush of cameras at court by appearing via Zoom amid the pandemic.
All right, thank you guys.
But actress Lori Loughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli could not steer clear of prison.
Judgment day for actress Lori Loughlin and her fashion mogul husband. The couple agreeing to plead guilty in that college admissions cheating scandal. Now they're set to learn their sentencing fate in just a few hours.
Lori Loughlin is headed to prison. The actress was sentenced today. Now the big question becomes, will Hollywood welcome her back after lockup?
Michelle Turner has the story.
Massimo got 5 months in the slammer. Lori got 2 months in the slammer. We talked about on the Patreon episode about how we expected them to not spend a lot of time. We already got a call from a lawyer on the Patreon line that was like, actually, you know, I wouldn't be so dead set on that. Like, they might, that might actually be the amount of time that they serve.
I mean, but we've seen examples of this before. We saw Felicity Huffman. We've seen other people receive that treatment, especially rich people, especially white people. You know, I'm not like, I mean, I'm sure the lawyer can speak for many cases, but I feel like that's pretty much what's going to happen here.
The judge's statement is the best part of this, which is the judge said, "We can only hope you will spend the rest of your charmed life, as you've said you will, making amends to the system you've harmed."
Well, part of this, I think what Lori wanted to avoid is having to give like a heartfelt apology statement, which I think is probably not quite honest. You know, she had to give this like whole plea, because when you're, you know, before you're sentenced, you have to like, you know, say like, oh, don't give me too much, like, and say sorry, sorry, sorry. And I kind of get a sense that even though she's an actress, I, you know, whatever, like she if they were fighting this for this long, they were wasting so much money and legal fees to, because they genuinely don't believe that they did anything wrong here. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think they get it now.
On many levels, it's like, it's fucked up. In general, whatever, the whole thing, having to go, like, jail is fucked up in general, the prison system is fucked up in general, but wasn't there just a story about a black woman who like was sentenced to jail time for like her kid not doing her homework or something?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, it was like truancy or something.
Right, like truly insane. Just like so truly insane. And like, you know, we're paying attention to this because it's Lori Loughlin or whatever, but like it's just crazy to me that this story took so long to end because they dragged it out, and it had probably had the Streisand effect of working against them, meaning giving it more attention. You know, like, did you see that it just came out that like Olivia Jade, the daughter, she probably knew about it. Like, the whole thing was like under the premise that she didn't know what was going on. Like, she,
and now it's like, oh, she definitely,
and now
knew
it's
about
like
it.
Oh, she's definitely like CC'd on half of these emails and like with her mother and whoever, like talking about the quote-unquote plan. She was fully a part of this whole thing. When the daughter Jade asked whether she should list USC as her top choices as in emails, the school, Lori Loughlin replied, "Yes, but it might be a flag for the weasel to meddle." Quote, "The weasel" is in reference to her guidance counselor, who Loughlin implored Jade not to say too much about her application because the counselor was acting like a nosy bastard. So like, things like this are still coming out from this case. And maybe if you hadn't have dragged it out so long, could have been a little bit less messy, which is what interests me about it still at this point.
Yeah.
Right, not like how many months they got, because it's irrelevant.
And that line, I mean, to me, the way I interpret that line is that Olivia 100% knew what her parents were doing. And I think, yeah, the point is Lori and Massimo did this because they didn't have faith in their daughter being able to get into a good school on her own merit. So the implication is that Olivia Jade isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But you gotta be the dullest knife on the planet to not understand how you're getting into a good school when you are not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Like,
well, or Olivia, just a liar.
Yeah. So it's like, she's savvy. She's a teen. She can tell what's going on. Like, what? Like, it's like the, what is the, even the line? Like, it's very hard to hide stuff from your children. They're in your house all day. They see what's going on. Like,
what's the
she's
line?
Not an idiot.
What's the line? Yeah. I mean, it just feels very dragged out to me.
But whatever. Now we have an ending.
Yeah, we have an ending. We have an ending. They're also paying restitution of some $100,000 or so dollars, each of them separate, and then community service and some sort of like probationary thing.
Yeah, like a 2-year probationary thing, but she's paying $150,000, He's playing 250. He's doing a lot of community service. She's doing slightly less community service.
Right. And you bet. I mean, she's got that memoir deal, like, just waiting for her when she's ready to have someone else write it for her, is my guess. So, you know, she's
you know
that'll
what call
happen.
It? What? From Full House to Big House.
Oh, God. No, that's terrible.
That's good. That's something.
From the Full House to the Big House. Yeah. I mean.
Well, that would be the sub. That would be the subtitle. Like,
Lori. Oh, it'd be like coming. It'd be like finding myself, or like breaking free, or like school ties, or like school, or like admit something with like admission.
Mm-hmm.
Admissions. Admissions. Like she's admitting.
Admissions. Admissions. Oh, of course it's called admissions. Oh my God.
It's called admissions. So it'd be admissions from school. What was it?
From Full House to the Big House.
From Full House to the Big House.
Beautiful. And it's a full memoir, and only maybe, you know, the final few chapters. Like when Olivia turned 15, there's like the chapter where it turns from like a beautiful memoir of a billionaire.
We realized
like,
that she couldn't
when Olivia
read or
turned
write.
15, we realized that she was flunking biology.
Right.
She didn't know what an atom was.
And
or
chemistry.
Like
and English. Yeah. And, oh, God.
And then we transition into all of this stuff. And then it ends with her getting out of prison.
Never forget that Olivia was like, I don't want to go to college. I'm already have my career and it's YouTubing. Yeah. Like, she was like, I don't need college for this. And to be fair, a lot of people don't need college, but like it was just funny that she was like, I don't need college. I have a YouTube career, you know?
Well, that's the truest irony of this. The fact that like them torpedoing their college admissions scam, like their college admission scheme, may have ruined the thing that was actually Olivia's passion / like career opportunity.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, and if they hadn't have done that, she would have been perfectly like, she didn't have to go to college at all. And mm-hmm. for like they were trying to get her into college for themselves, not for herself. She mm-hmm. didn't want to go to college. She already had an Amazon brand deal and didn't need to do that. You know, not that anyone needed to do anything. Again, this is already a wealthy family. It's like Olivia could have been doing like experimental film on YouTube with no
spawn. She could have bought another house next to the guy who invented the mechanical reaper. You know, like she could have bought the house next door to the house that
and
Harry
now
and
she
bought.
Never
it would have been fine.
Will.
She'll be fine. I mean, I'm just wondering. I guess this is over. The Massimo Lori story is over. I mean, yeah, they're going to go to prison. Yeah, we're going to get drone shots of them in the cell yard, the jail yard, like walking around their minimum security like fantasy. But I think the real next chapter, or maybe the epilogue, is how does Olivia...
What happens with Olivia Jade?
Start vlogging again. Yeah, because ultimately this was a story about her.
It's true.
More so than it was about Lori and Massimo, really.
And she was big enough where when this all happened, people had kind of known who she was as a vlogger, or at least not, okay, that's really over-exaggerating her.
We had talked about her on the show, I think that's fair to say.
Right, but she was already getting a modicum of attention as in this realm as an influencer outside of her mom's, knowledge of her mom,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, I think... Here's a test. What are Felicity Huffman's children's names?
I have no fucking idea. Exactly.
I mean, I think that kind of says something.
It says something.
Like, they're gonna get through this and maybe go through life with a little more anonymity because their parents are like, yep, we're sorry. We did something wrong. Send me to prison. Sorry.
Right.
Can you remember what Teresa Giudice's memoir was called? The one about prison. I read this.
No.
Turning the Tables.
Because she turned the table. Yeah, of course. Great name.
From housewife to inmate and back again.
And back again.
And back again.
Oh, wait, there's one more little note about this. The Full House former resident and three named queen herself, Candace Cameron Bure. Also, people were wanting her to weigh in. And I think they want them all to weigh in on this. I mean, I think they're like, everyone is desperate for everyone from the Full House clan to give a comment on this. Mm-hmm. And they've all been mm-hmm. pretty silent about it. But Candace, because she's a Christian, I think they were like, oh, we can get her to make a little judgment, pass a little judgment on this. On her friend Lori or whatever. On her TV aunt Lori. And she responded to a comment that I feel like people read this as like support, but I kind of read this as like negative.
I read it as disappointment.
So it's, so someone wrote, they should have 4 years each for the college kids that should have gotten in. Ugh. Okay, I don't agree with that. I don't think like more jail time is the answer for these two. Should they have to pay more restitution and set up a scholarship for kids who like to get into college? Totally. That's maybe a more creative idea for this very rich couple to like give back to a community they're stealing. Yeah. They're essentially stealing spots from for like kids to get into college or whatever. Anyways, her response, Candace Cameron Bure responded to that woman with a sad face, just like a frown.
And keep in mind, the person who wrote the comment was just a random, like a civilian, a non-famous civilian.
So Candace is in here. So that means Candace is in here reading all the comments. She's reading. What was this under? This was under like some news brief, like an Us Weekly. This wasn't someone.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't on like Lori's. It was on a news website's Instagram. I mean, on Entertainment Tonight's Instagram. Okay. On Entertainment Tonight's Instagram, which is funny in and of itself.
So Candace Cameron Bure is in here reading all the comments on the post that they made with this news. And she's choosing to respond to this one with a sad face, which can be read in many ways, but I almost read as like, I agree with you and it's sad. Or like, yeah, like.
That's how I read it. That's how I read it too.
It does. It's not in support. Because if she was being like, fuck you, Lori, da 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 da, like she would have said that? Or I, like, I'm just, it, to me, this doesn't, I don't know. This is a very confusing response.
Mm-hmm. And the story I think you were thinking of was the woman who was in Ohio and she lied about where she lived so that she could get her kids into a better school. And
when, right. Like in Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah.
Yeah. And she got $30,000 fine, which for a normal person is insane, and 3 years in prison.
That's fucking insane.
So, I mean, but of course, that's also a tale as old as time. That's happened a million times. So Lori is in a way getting away with a lot of stuff. But Candace Cameron Bure being publicly disappointed, that's how I'm reading it. Otherwise, she's like angry at Julie. But I feel like if she were really, she would say like a, she would do a, he who is without sin should cast the first stone, Julie.
But I do think, well, that's true. But I kind of think that Candace Cameron Bure is like behind the scenes chomping at the bit to be like holier than thou about her friend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm disappointed in my friend. Like, you know, privately, she's like so disappointed in her friend, Lori. Who gallivants about in her When Calls the Heart Christian show. It's not a Christian show, yeah. But we're just, let's say it's a Christian show. Like, not practicing what she
family
preaches.
Value show.
Candace
family
would
value
never
show.
Do that. Yeah, anyways. No.
Meanwhile, I would pay cash money to see Jodie Sweetin's close friends' Instagram stories right now because you know.
Because, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley have not mentioned this at all. They don't even know what happened. They're not even aware that it went down.
They have no idea that this happened.
Meanwhile, Jodie's out here on a group text with five of her closest friends sending out these outrageous little voice notes.
They communicate in voice notes. And Jodie sent one that just said,
1 month? Are you fucking kidding me? 1 month?
Wow, we spent too much time talking about Lori and Mossimo. Let's talk about how James Blunt had scurvy once, which is not all that interesting.
It's
like
not.
This is one of those stories. It's like when you read throughout the year, every year, there's like some story where it's like, the bubonic plague is back. And it's like, the bubonic plague never really left. It just like pops up here and there, like in some places. It's like, it's not that it's back. It's just that these are attention.
But scurvy is not the bubonic plague.
But
like,
scurvy, a lot of people still get scurvy.
Right.
And one of the main reasons is just, it's just, it's not because of like lack
scurvy
of
scurvy isn't contagious either. It's not. No. It's a nutrition deficiency.
Deficiency. Yes.
Because sailors used to get it because they didn't have access to fresh fruit and vegetables.
Fruit.
But I think scurvy sounds like to people, and it would to me. It sounds like it's one of those catchable things from like the old times, but it's not. It's just a disease that you can get, like gout, if you like eat too much or eat too little. The point is that James Blunt had scurvy and told a story about getting it in college on a podcast. Jessie Ware's podcast, which I didn't even know she had one, but good for her. And people wrote it up like James Blunt has scurvy or
currently
once got scurvy, and it was like, wait, he has scurvy now? And it's like, no, he literally told a story about how he
on the engineering side there were 170 men and only three girls. And then on the sociology side of things, there were 170 girls and only three boys, of which all the girls were vegetarians or vegans. And so out of principle, I decided I would become a carnivore. I just lived on mince some chicken, maybe with some mayonnaise, is a little bit of, you know, and it took me about six to eight weeks to get very, very unhealthy, see a doctor who then said, I think you've got the symptoms of scurvy.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Anyway, then he said, you're really lacking in vitamin C. So then I took it upon myself to just drink a liter of orange juice every night. And then I immediately developed acid reflux. So
he was literally trying to like impress women.
He was like, and, oh, you're a vegan? I'm only going to eat meat. And then he like gave himself a nutritional deficiency.
Yeah, like I'm a real man. I'm only going to eat meat. And then he got sick. And you get like bloody gums and stuff. It's disgusting. Ew. Chicken and mayonnaise. He probably made a chicken salad.
Chicken salad. This is like my dream diet.
I know. In a way, it's my dream. Yeah.
Chicken salad.
I don't know how you live without fiber. Like even scurvy aside, how are you getting through the day without a healthy dose of fiber in your diet? Like, come on, James Blake.
Blunt.
James Blunt.
James Blake's someone else, but he didn't have scurvy. Maybe. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
This is your beautiful James Blunt. Not Jamila Jamil's boyfriend, James Blake.
That's true. Mm-hmm. They are different Jameses. Oh, the thing about scurvy is a lot of those trendy diets call for not eating many fruits and vegetables and eating a lot of meat. And so a lot of people get scurvy these days.
The only reason this is funny is because he did it as a gag and then got the symptoms of scurvy and was like, wow, joke's on me, I have scurvy.
The other thing that's funny is that we think so little about and of James, well, not of James Blunt. We think so infrequently about James Blunt that whenever the stories were happening, like James Blunt tells story about having scurvy, like all of us were ready to believe that he currently has scurvy or recently had scurvy
because
we don't know. So it's like believable to see a headline that's like James Blunt has scurvy when really it's misreporting and he had scurvy when he was 19 years old. And I can't name another James Blunt song. I can name You're Beautiful, that's it.
I've been addicted to you. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
Speaking of Jameses, there's James Charles, who had a minor feud with Lauren Conrad. Reading it was sort of funny, but when I actually watched the video of him on his Instagram stories, I was almost on his team. I hate to be on James Charles's team.
Well, it's also funny because Lauren Conrad never speaks. She's like,
right.
She famously like doesn't, she like flies above the fray. And trust me, there's plenty of fray around her that like compels her to, I mean, she's got like Spencer Pratt like reaching towards her. She's got like Kirsten Cavallari like reaching towards her. I think she like Lauren Conrad could be amongst a lot of fray, but somehow, and I mean this respectfully, she does her own thing. She has her own brand. She does, like, she flies like kind of like above that somehow and still manages to get like the feedback of being on that show, but doesn't have to actually engage with any of the, she didn't have to go on the reboot. She didn't have to acknowledge it, really. She didn't have to.
No.
It, like,
she's focused on laurenconrad.com. She's focused on her brand.
Like, as much as I like clown on Lauren Conrad, like, I feel like she did a good job separating herself from that, but still getting the like draft of like people associating her with it, with the Laguna Beach and Hills stuff, you know?
Yes. And so she is launching, as part of her new Lauren Conrad Co., which, you know, has like clothes and it has books and it has like home goods. Yeah, exactly. And it has like, you know, here's how to dress like me. Here's how to decorate like me, whatever. Here's how to do makeup like me. So she released a beauty line because you are not a famous person unless you release a beauty line these days. And they sent out all these PR packages to influencers, I'm assuming, because James Charles got one. And James Charles went on his Instagram and it was written up as James Charles bashes Lauren Conrad's makeup line on his Instagram stories. Then he apologizes for it. Whatever.
I just opened a PR package from a new makeup brand from somebody who has no business having a makeup brand. And I just wanted to show you guys some of these products, okay? This is the liquid highlighter that I just opened up. Notice anything weird about it? There's no highlighter in there, nor is there a cap. And it's not even sealed. Like, I actually just received this piece of plastic in a PR box.
And James Charles like famously does stuff like this and then apologizes for it.
He
is in the wrong, but I do think it really is funny that you sent an on that whoever made this like little mess up sent James Charles.
Empty makeup.
Empty makeup. Because, like, come on. You're, like, asking for it.
And he, I mean, to his credit, I hate giving him credit, but to his credit, he doesn't name her. He covers up. I would have been like, ooh, I wonder what brand this is. But there were really no identifying marks on these pieces of makeup. It's like eyeliner and something else. And he's like, look at this. This is what they sent me, this PR company. And it's an empty thing of eyeliner. Then it's like, look at this. And it's an empty thing of another makeup. Like, it's just like the vessels for the makeup before they've been sent to the plant to fill up.
It's kind of funny.
Actually very funny. And he's complaining about
the fact
that,
he adds in his own flavor of insulting, which he's like, this is a celebrity's line. Stop making lines. When it's like, you also review celebrities' makeup lines and you make money off of it because you put them on your YouTube and you get ad money. Like, it's crazy for him to be like, oh, celebrities, stop making makeup lines. It's like, what ecosystem do you think that you currently exist in?
Yeah, but Lauren's explanation is actually extremely funny. So he did this without naming names.
He got her to comment, which is shocking.
Right. So people put the pieces together pretty quickly, and they were like, LOL, clowning on Lauren Conrad for sending empty samples to Josh Charles, and then James Charles. And James Charles complained about it. So Lauren went on Instagram and wrote out her explanation, which says, for those asking about the empty components sent to James, let me tell you a funny story. To be fair, it's a funny story. The woman who put together the gifts, it was me, decided to fill a makeup bag full of empty samples to make sure everything would fit inside. When beauty products arrived and it was time to fill all the makeup bags, she, again, me, accidentally included the bag full of empties with the others and it was sent out.
That's funny.
She will be let go immediately. She's again talking about herself. That's funny and also entirely believable.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That makes perfect sense.
And honestly, if he had phrased his criticism and review differently, it could have been a funny moment between them. But instead, he tinged it with, why does this celebrity have a makeup line? Like, mm-hmm. That's the...
Which you are a celebrity with a makeup line.
But that's, like, the nastiness that made it kind of, like, adversarial? Adversarial, thank you.
Okay.
Versus being, like, a cutie little moment. He fumbled the ball on that one.
And then he apologized to her, and then they talked on the phone, and they kissed and made up, and everything is fine.
Right, he said, oh, I was upset with other things, not her. I was just upset that day.
He's, number one, he's absolutely going to review them on his Instagram, at least. Maybe he won't make a video, now it can be a whole thing. Of course.
Like, to be working in this, like, quote-unquote industry and not realize that, like, this type of thing that happens to you is an open door to, like, 3 easy videos, like, that just feels like such a mistake to not see this as like, oh, what a funny story that now I can, like, make content off of and still get, and then get mad and have to apologize twice. Like, get out of here. Like, learn your lesson.
Never waste an opportunity to reconcile. Yeah, you can plot out, like, the coming weeks in these two personal relationship. One thing to have a feud, which we love a feud, but we love people making up even more.
Right.
So.
Meanwhile, the James Charles, like, bandwagon grows because he has received a lot of, like, the bad reputation that he kind of received because of all this back and forth with Jeffree Star and Shane, what's his face?
Dawson.
And Dawson. It kind of all revealed itself to be that they were kind of, like, bullying up on him or ganging up on mm-hmm. him. Again, who knows the truth, but like that he was kind of at the end, like they were gunning for him in a way because he was the most quote unquote successful or something like that.
You can twerk while in a split. You're racking up them tips. Your body rocking, your booty popping. I'm proud to call you my bitch.
There's going to be a new versus battle.
Well, I was going to say, don't you think Brandy and Monica are both thems though, that we're not really allowed to talk about this?
I think they are both thems. Yeah, they're both thems. I really just wanted an excuse to talk about the cover art because they have dueling cover arts. But you're right. They're thems.
Well, actually, this is a conversation that could be because the Monica, Brandy, Monica thing is a who, them, controversy. It's like, is it Brandy and Monica or Monica and Brandy? In my mind, it's Brandy and Monica, unfortunately, because of the alphabet, but also because of that's like, the boy is mine, Brandy and Monica.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And while they're both thems, Brandy is themier.
Well, and also the thing about that song is that it was on both of their albums. Like, it wasn't just on Brandy's album, and it wasn't just on Monica's album. Like, they each had ownership over this song.
It doesn't help that the song is, like, a fight, because then it puts them mm-hmm. in a fake fight, even though they never were in a fight, and it's a song.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, then
that's
it's always,
half
like...
half of their narrative.
Yeah, like, the narrative is that they're in a fight, and also never forget that MacBook. Like, then when they try to revitalize it and, like, have the fake fight again, it was a flop. So then we're still on the first fight. Boy, it's mine. Although, do you think in the verses they'll play that MacBook? On the flesh belongs to me. Those clothes belong to me.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. The weird thing about Versus, though, which is, I think, it's an Instagram them. It's a them. I don't know that, like, the public at large knows about Versus, because it is so, like, you got to be online just to know about it.
I think it's them. I think it blew up big enough to be a them.
I think this, the what's fun about Versus is that it's truly, even though, yeah, it's like, okay, we have our lineup. Here's our calendar of, you know, Versus battles that we're going to have. Each one is truly unique, which is kind of fun. Like, you kind of, they adjust sort of the format of everything based on the artists who are performing. So it's like, you kind of don't know what to expect. Like, how much are they actually going to sing? What are they just going to play? Like, sometimes they just play a song. Sometimes they sing along to the song. It's like, did you watch the John Legend and Alicia Keys one? They played the piano for a lot of it, and they were right next to each other, you know?
Did you watch the Erykah Badu Jill Scott one? It's like, the joke was that they, like, loved each other too much. It wasn't a versus. Yeah. Like, they were just like, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. You're amazing. It's like, yeah, well, you know, like, they have love for each other. So people were, like, laughing at that. And now it's funny because it says live from Tyler Perry Studios, the only place in town that's actually able to film anything. So it's just funny to me that now they're now they're, like, in the same room. So, like, the vibe is very different, and the idea of it being versus is kind of, I think, less so. It's more just like, let's play our biggest hits and talk about them or whatever.
Yeah, and I think you're right, they're themmy, but it is funny. So on Brandy's Instagram, she has some cover art for some key art for this, some promotional art, and it's Brandy and Monica versus, and it's her face, then Monica's face. But then Monica's Instagram, she has her own key art that is Monica versus Brandy, and it's Monica's face first and then Brandy's face.
Yeah.
Which is funny. It's good to know.
And Brandy just released an album, so this is promo for Brandy's new album. She's on the cover of People magazine, which I laughed at so much because people were saying on Twitter, like, this is like proof that you don't read People magazine. Not that it's a brag that I read People magazine. It's not a brag. It's actually embarrassing. But the point is that it had a whole Brandy cover story, an exclusive Brandy cover story, right? And then in the top, one of the side stories was like, first interview with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
And Kamala Harris.
And it was like, first interview. And somebody put the cover and was like, if the first interview with, like, the future president and vice president, like, is not big enough to be the cover story, like, who are you kidding? And I was like, oh, honey, you've never read People. Like, it's not. Like, it just wouldn't be. And also, they clearly didn't get the first exclusive interview. It's just like,
it is an, like, I read it and it is an interview. It's just like, it's not a fake interview like maybe an Us Weekly or an In Touch would do, but it's just like, it's still strange to me. I'm like, when was this done? Was this interview conducted before? No, she gets it. No, you can cut that. It is an exclusive interview. It's just like, the timing is very strange. Like, I still find it very hard to believe that it was the first one.
But don't you feel like it's a symptom of not really reading People magazine to be mad about Brandy getting the cover key art over, or like the cover story over those two, you know?
It's just the way that magazines work. Like, this Brandy cover was planned months ago, you know? So
can you imagine if they bumped her? She'd be so mad.
She'd be so mad.
How dare you bump me?
And also, if I... No offense, like...
To who?
To Joe and Kamala, but like, if there's a People magazine and it's Brandy, what really happened to me, and it's her face, and then there's a People magazine and it's like Kamala and Joe, and it's like the first interview, I'm buying the Brandy one. Like, they know. It's all marketing at the end of the day.
Right. They know. You got to get... Brandy's got to be... Yeah, so I just thought that was funny because I was like, no. Like, that's not how People magazine works. Like, clearly you've never read People magazine before, you know?
Also, People magazine is like the biggest hodgepodge of stories in the universe. Like, it'll be Brandy on one page, Kamala and Joe on the next, and then some like... child with there was one story on People recently where it was like a woman had both of her eyes gouged out
them
replaced with these like fake eyes, and I was like, okay, a extremely traumatic and violent
you positive love a human true story. Story you love a true crime
but a,
people
a true story.
Story
with a happy ending, but it was like the most disgusting possible true crime story.
Also, Monica has a lot of drama going on too right now. This is Brandy got the People story, Brandy's got the album out, and then Monica's dealing a lot with, she's like dealing with the incarceration of C Murder, who's like, who's Master P's brother, who's in jail, who's been in jail for a while, and she got Kim Kardashian on board to try and get him out of jail, which, like, laugh all you want, Kim Kardashian is getting people out of jail. Like, she is somehow able to get people out of jail at this point. So Monica and C Murder are, who's Master P's brother, working together to get this guy out of jail who's Monica's close friend and maybe romantic interest. Again, I was reading a lot about it and like couldn't really tell whether they were like together or not. So that's like what Monica's up to.
And you're right. Them at Tyler Perry Studios is a big deal because, as we all know, as you said, Tyler Perry Studios is like the only open place in town where you can shoot stuff. And not only shoot stuff, but shoot stuff quickly and efficiently. Because as we all know, not only did Tyler Perry's studios shoot a full season of one of his many, many shows during lockdown, he shot it in 10 days. He shot a full season of the show The Oval in 10 days.
Let's see the quality of this show that he shot in 10 days before we are so amazed by its, you know.
Well, the show is sort of like famously bad. I think this is like the second or third season and people don't really like it. But it's still a show. It's still a show. He did it. That's skill.
Yeah, people are clamoring to get into Tyler Perry Studios at this point. Like, let us in style, you know?
But it's a soap opera, so of course it's like quick to write, quick to shoot. That's what soap operas do.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what Quince did you get when we got some Quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low-dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm going to have people over, and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy. Especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So Ellen's DJ, we can talk about this. Ellen is a them. This guy, Steven Twitch Boss. Well, his Twitch isn't his real name. It's his nickname. It's like his, you know,
Steven Boss
artist name.
In parentheses, Steven Boss. Twitch.
He was the DJ on Ellen, and he's been the DJ on Ellen for like 6 years. He finally started talking about all the allegations about the Ellen and then the allegations about the people who work for Ellen. And yet again, it's basically a lot of words that aren't really substantial. It's just like he's saying a lot of words without really saying anything. We can't speak too much legally about it, but I'll say this, there's been love.
Well, that's the funny thing is that when all this Ellen stuff broke, everyone was like, well, what about this person that works with her? What about this person? Like, everybody who worked with Ellen in some level got like they wanted to talk to them. And Twitch, who's like kind of a sidekicky character on the Ellen show and has been for some time, was one of those people that people were curious about. And the question was, would he throw Ellen under the bus or whatever? Or would he
The answer is no, not really.
Or like, and he'd be, and would he be rewarded for that?
And even
behavior,
the rest of the statement is obviously there's some things to address. But from my standpoint and from countless others, there's been love. I'll just leave it at that until there's a time when we can address more publicly. There's been love and there will continue to be love. That's nothing. That's not saying anything.
And then on August 17th, which was just a few days ago, Ellen DeGeneres named Twitch co-executive producer of her daytime talk show, which like, which if there's a more direct thank you for your vague statement, like, then that's what it is. That's, you know, she rewarded his loyalty that he shut
up. That's really what it seems like, right?
I mean,
like,
it seems like, it couldn't be any more obvious.
Could I make it? He was a boy. She was a girl. He said there was love and she was Ellen DeGeneres. Could I make it any more obvious?
Right.
That's it. It's just, it's funny that this keeps going, and it really does show that like any rumors of this show being canceled are completely unfounded. Like, these people are going to power through this until they're back on the air. Like, they will not give up. These people will not give up.
Well, then I thought it was funny because then on August 22nd, a few days later, we have an Us Weekly exclusive. Steven Twitch boss and Allison Holker admit quarantine has 100% tested their marriage, which was funny because this is like a new version of the like broke up, got together, had got pregnant because of quarantine. It's the just like the new generation of it, which is just like we're going to talk real about our relationship and like go and get press through that in a way. So these two are trying to promote something, and let me reveal, and what the reveal is what they're trying to promote. So it says, keeping it real, Steven, Twitch boss, and Allison Holker admitted that their marriage has 100% been put to the test while in quarantine together. Quote, I think where we really luck out being together is that we actually like each other as well, Allison, 32, just told Us Weekly exclusively on August 11th, while promoting, here we go, Pampers Cruisers 360 Fits #360 Stretch Challenge.
I know that you guys are dancing your way through quarantine as well, and I know that you've teamed up with Pampers to do so. So tell me all about that.
So honestly, everyone that knows us knows that dance is a huge part of who we are individually as a couple, but also for our family.
Yeah.
So Pampers wanted to do a challenge that really put the diapers to the test with a 360 stretch challenge,
yep.
Right? Which for us made so much sense. So teaming up with them was like really honestly like a no-brainer, because if anyone's going to put the diapers to the test, it's going to be us.
Yeah.
That's great.
Diapers.
And but the thing about, I think Ellen, and it's one thing. So like Ellen shows good favor by this person who's worked on her staff for a long time. She promotes him to executive producer. But I think one of the reasons that his marriage to Allison Holker is, I think, one of the reasons that she's probably being so nice to him. Not only because, I mean, I'm sure he's good at his job. He's the DJ, whatever. But like, this guy gets a ton of Us Weekly level coverage. He is a who. So is Allison Holker. She's a So You Think You Can Dance person. Like, that's how she got famous. She's a dancer who was on So You Think You Can Dance. And their relationship is covered like crazy on Us Weekly. They get exclusive wedding photos. They talk about their baby plans. They talk to Us Weekly all the time. That's why they're giving them this exclusive about their like marriage being tested in quarantine. So like Ellen knows that this guy is of an outward like public facing member of her staff, if not the most public facing member of her staff. And like, she needs to keep in good favor with him if she's going to keep this show on the air.
Talk about the audiences. It's like, So You Think You Could Dance, Ellen. We're talking about him making the decision. Oh, am I going to put my faith in the fact that I'm going to go, that the Ellen ship is not going to go fully down, or that like that it'll be worth it for me to stand by her or something. You know what I mean?
It was probably very easy for him to make the case that like, look, you give me a good promotion or I quit and that makes you look bad. Or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
When she was like, okay, I'm giving you a promotion. Like, he had so much leverage here. People really like him. They like his wife.
Right.
But one thing that I didn't realize it was them, because this show really just seems very cursed for many, many reasons. And I knew it existed, but I try not to think about it. They're the hosts of that fairy tale wedding show, the Disney fairy tale wedding show.
Oh, that's so cursed. Same audience.
Yeah.
Imagine getting married at the most magical place on earth. These couples are about to do just that. Join our hosts.
I'm Twitch.
And I'm Mrs. Twitch, but you can call me Allison.
For a Mary Poppins Returns wedding that's practically perfect in every way. Featuring Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hello, hello.
That show. I've never watched that show. I cannot bring myself to watch that show. I won't do it.
Aside from continuing to work on their marriage throughout quarantine, the couple have teamed up with Pampers Cruisers 360 Fit for its 360 stretch challenge. The challenge aims at challenging parents to see how the diaper succeeds in keeping up with little one's movement. What does that mean? Like, challenge the parents to, like, having kids shit in their diapers or something?
Shit in their diapers, but also, like, crawl around and then make sure the shit doesn't fall out?
Of the diaper.
Is that what that... Yeah.
Well, that the diaper stays on. Right. So I guess it's more like the diaper stays on when the kid crawls around, not like that the shit stays in the diaper or whatever.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Sorry. Whatever.
Not the person to ask about diaper technology.
I use a tape from the diaper. I'll tape it up. I'm an architect, for Christ's sakes. I build 50-story skyscrapers. I assemble cities of the future. I can certainly put together a goddamn diaper.
Lindsay, we have an update.
DENANA. What will these two do today? Coffee, blocks, daily tasks, only sometimes wearing masks. BONANZA. It girl and a divorcee. They're sharing shirts and sharing laughs while others share their photographs. DENANA. Let's update their dossier.
Oh, well, thank God they're back. I was worried about them. Honest, Armas defund the police updates disappeared from Twitter. And as it turns out, they disappeared themselves. We thought that they had been disappeared and they came back and they wrote a statement that they were taking a break. I can read it. I can read some of it.
Mm-hmm.
The past few months have been a whirlwind ever since I applied a tone of constructive criticism to posts of candid photographs. The tone was that so I can take control of a narrative, though it is not mine to begin with, and make people know that as an Ana de Armas fan, I was aware that she should not have allowed herself to be portrayed by the paparazzi in unfavorable light during our current moment in time. Furthermore, this tone was also used to highlight the inaction of our platform for social causes that need attention. There's never been been malicious or harmful intent with my account. I was just trying to get my frustration out there that my idol could improve or be better public figure. I love this because I think that, like, they, first of all, this account loves Ana de Armas. It's very clear. It's not just like they're using it to make funny comments. Like, they're actually also posting, if you follow them, it's not all that. They're also just posting updates about her career, which, like, I wouldn't have known otherwise. So to say that Ana de Armas updates doesn't like Ana de Armas, which I think a lot of Ana de Armas stans were saying, they did not like this account. They thought it was getting a lot of attention and getting a little bit of a big head about it, you know? And it's like, well, you don't have, just because you stan someone doesn't mean you don't get to see the flaws. They can have flaws. Mm-hmm. You can be critical of them. You can still love them and follow their career.
You have high expectations for people you stan sometimes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
And I love the last line. Wait, did you read you didn't read the last line of the thing, which was...
No, read it. Read it.
The mission of this fan account is not to tear her down, but to celebrate and respect Golden Globe nominee and movie star Ana de Armas. From now on, I will make sure to uphold that.
I mean, yeah. I got a brief whiff when I tweeted my being upset about Ana de Armas, Ana Defund the Police Armas updates disappearing. I got a brief whiff of the fandom not being, yay, we took them down. We got rid of them or whatever. And it's like that stan behavior is the blind, I think that blind admiration and just like visceral kind of get them. That's the issue with stan culture. There's no thoughtfulness behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People flocked to this account and thought it was fun because they put a twist on it. They put their brain behind it a little bit, not just like kind of an aimless pounding of the stan, their favorite. Like, that's why people like them so much, you know?
Yeah. This next story is actually also pretty, not funny, but interesting. The thing about the photo agency captions.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was confusing. This was making all of the gossip blogs really confused.
Because the photos were them like holding boxes and moving stuff. So, which could have been interpreted in like any number of ways, from like, oh, they're going on like a weekend vacation. Oh, they're doing like X thing. They're going to a hotel. Who knows? But the photo captions from Backgrid, I think they're from Backgrid, specifically said that they were moving in together. That this was, oh, the Ben is helping Ana get her stuff because she's moving in with him. That's what the caption said in the official photo stuff. So this confused blogs like Celebrity and like Vanity Fair.
Well, who knows who writes those? They don't know.
Maybe they fully asked, what is this for? So that you could get the like the captions for the thing.
You think that maybe, Ben and like, Anna said, oh, we're moving in together.
Well, I don't know what happened. But the point is, like, it feels weird that they would editorialize in the caption if they didn't have some sort of information. And so that's what the blogs are sort of confused by, because it's more information than normal. But remember, this is what happened with the Taylor Swift thing whenever they...
I don't remember. Where they thought she was in the suitcase? But remember
Taylor Swift in the suitcase? She was, like, listed in the photo caption. So it was like...
It could mean nothing. It could just mean we're tagging this as Taylor Swift because it's associated with Taylor Swift because we're going into her apartment with this box. And when we when you look up Taylor Swift, we want you to be able to find this photo. That's a little different than this, which literally the caption reads, Ben Affleck helps girlfriend Ana de Armas pick up the last of her things as she moves from Venice Beach into his L.A. home. That's very explicit as to what's happening when that has not been confirmed. Where the moving trucks were. They get in the information. Like, I thought she was looking for, weren't they looking at real estate for her separately or something that was written about or whatever?
That was like, months ago, yeah.
Right.
But, like, I'm looking at the Taylor Swift photos and it was Splash. Splash was another photo provider. But they were like, Taylor Swift being transported in a huge suitcase from her Tribeca apartment? And that was them editorializing in the photo caption, which is rare for them, but they were putting the pieces together. They were like, they keep seeing security around these things. It stands to reason that Taylor Swift is inside this box.
It does not stand to reason that Taylor Swift was inside that suitcase. It just would have been an amazing story if she was inside that suitcase.
There's no way Taylor Swift was not in that suitcase. No, she was in the suitcase.
There's no reason why she would need to be in the suitcase to go into her apartment.
I think that the reason for Taylor Swift to be in the suitcase is either that she was like feeling extremely vulnerable. So it's either like she was vulnerable and she didn't want to be around the paparazzi. She really needed a 100% effective way to not be photographed, which is to be put inside the suitcase. Or Taylor Swift, as famous people can sometimes be, they're like very strange. They don't get to experience joy in the normal ways. And I bet she was like, this could be funny. Like, just to like feel something different and fun. Like, famous people are weird. So she was like, you know what would be fun is if you put me in the suitcase and move me to the thing. Like, that. Let's see if we get written about. Let's see if we control them. Like, that makes sense to me in a way. But I do believe she was in the suitcase.
Okay, but do you believe that Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck are moving in together?
No. I read through all the tabloids this week, and it's a little boring, but that banana story was in there twice. Two of the tabloids had a banana wives, Ben and Matt wives are feuding story. Three of the four, again, okay, InStyle, Star, and Us. Three of the four had this story, which I'm obsessed with, which is that Cameron Diaz is purging all of her famous friends. All three tabloids had the story, and I'm going to read I believe this is OK's version of events. In a recent interview, Cameron Diaz confessed that she felt at peace with her decision to ditch the Hollywood scene in favor of Mother. That's the Goop interview. We played a clip of that.
Yeah, that's the video that she did.
So that's how all of these tabloid stories work, right? They take a nugget of truth from a recently, like, widely circulated story and then extrapolate a lot of lies from it. And so...
Which this one is so mean, because if any of these people thought this was true, they'd be so sad.
Yeah, I know. And it says... So they took that Goop interview and they said they heard stories from sources, and the sources say, quote, Cameron's very choosy and she can't be bothered with people she sees as superficial. She's done playing that game and she doesn't care who's offended, explains the source of why she cut ties with Demi Moore and Sandra Bullock. Quote, if they don't get where she's...
Former colleagues, by the way. That's
former
what they're
colleagues,
calling them,
sure. Demi Moore and Sandra Bullock. If they don't get where she's at in life, they're out. On the other hand, the Charlie's Angels star, 47, has remained tight with more laid-back actresses like Drew Barrymore and Gwyneth Paltrow, who she just did the interview with. Quote, those two both encouraged her to have kids, even though she was well into her 40s, notes the source. She doesn't know what she'd
do without them. The implication, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know them, but the implication that Sandra Bullock, who also adopted kids later in life, would not encourage Cameron Diaz to have kids later in life is crazy to me.
It's so stupid.
Because if they were friends at all, which again, there's no evidence that they actually kept in touch or stayed friends or whatever. What movie were Sandra Bullock and Cameron Diaz in together? I don't even know. Name one.
Sandra
whatever.
Bullock and Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, they're saying that they're former colleagues. So what movie were they in together or whatever?
Wait, actually, I have no
idea. I'm sorry. Is it like they all work in an office building called Hollywood? Like, is that why they're calling them colleagues? Like, I'm assuming that they're implying that they were in a movie together or something.
I don't think they've ever been in a movie together.
Why she cut ties? So they're saying former colleague Sandra Bullock, like they work in an office building called Hollywood, you know, like, and they're
Hollywood.
Like,
called Hollywood, called lady, called ladies in Hollywood.
Right. But from what we know about
Sandra
Bullock,
it's the basement of Hollywood.
There's no way that she would cut, that she would not encourage Cameron to do that. And also Demi Moore, who also took a break from Hollywood, significant break, and then came back and wrote about it, would also encourage Cameron Diaz to take a break from Hollywood or step away completely. This is silly.
Everything you found to complain about in this little blurb is fully spot on, but I have some major problems with calling Gwyneth Paltrow a laid-back actress.
Okay, well, first of all, that's just...
Laid-back actresses like Drew Barrymore and Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm sorry, to call Gwyneth Paltrow more laid-back than Sandra Bullock, it just feels like the biggest lie I've ever... Demi Moore...
I also would argue that Drew Barrymore is not laid-back either from recent... Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Wait, I'm sorry. In this version of Cameron Diaz ditching her friends, she's ditched Demi and Chelsea.
And Chelsea Handler.
And Chelsea Handler in this version?
And Leslie Mann.
Wait, she ditched Jennifer Aniston, Leslie Mann, Chelsea Handler, Demi Moore. Even Sandra Bullock is feeling the chill. I'm sorry, what is this? The expansion of the names on this list is really funny. These are her friends, as if these were her friends.
And once again, it says her only friends are, not her only friends, but the only friends that it calls out are Gwyneth Paltrow and Drew Barrymore. That's it.
Yeah, well.
That's it.
I mean, everyone knows that her and Drew Barrymore are BFF. I'm just saying there's so many interesting stories going on, like also with like Meg and like Tory Lanez and all this stuff. And we have a fake Taylor Swift, Joe Alwyn story. Like these back, it's like all the tabloids, it's like all white people, all old stories, you know, it's just like work.
old
like,
stories
do
too,
like
yeah.
One Google, we always say this about ourselves, but like do a little bit of work. There are compelling and interesting stories with real information that are not even making the cover of these tabloids, you know,
like honestly, like say that Brandy and Monica are fighting again, come on. Like I know they're not, but you're lying anyway.
I know. You're lying anyway. Like, yes, I understand why the Brad Angelina Jolie story is on us. I understand why that's something that we're talking about. I understand Miley Cyrus because she just broke up and she has a song out on In Touch. But I truly, truly don't understand the Taylor Swift, Joe Alwyn fan fiction of Life and Style. And I don't understand the Saving Our Family on Star, the Chip and Joanna plotline on Star. Terrible. And then the last one was Bindi Irwin fake OK Magazine twins. Like
terrible.
Terrible.
No one is less interesting than Joe Alwyn. No
terrible.
One. And yet, somehow, he gets on the cover all the time. But back to Cameron Diaz for just a second, because I have a quick game for you. Quick little game. Because if you'll remember, we were talking about the fact that Cameron Diaz becomes best friends with everyone she co-stars in movies with, as the tabloids are trying to tell us this week, which is a strange little piece of uniformity. But I made a quick game about like people Cameron Diaz has been in movies with. It's mostly just to explore some lesser seen Cameron Diaz vehicles from early in her career, because I didn't know about a lot of them, or I didn't know the details about a lot of them. It's a game about her many co-stars slash best friends. I'm going to read about a hooey or like low tier them movie Cameron has starred in, and ask which actor in a list of actors she did not become best friends with. Okay.
What's the game called? It's like Cameron Diaz's best friends
Cameron
and
Diaz,
colleagues.
Who's, in 1995, Cameron Diaz followed up her first movie, The Mask, with a movie called The Last Supper, which is about, quote, five liberal graduate school students who invite a string of extreme conservatives to dinner in order to murder them.
Oh.
Have you heard of this? No.
No,
yeah.
But bye.
Weird. Okay, so... Which of these actors is not in The Last Supper, a.k.a. who is not Cameron Diaz's best friend? Sandra Oh, Courtney B. Vance, Bill Paxton, or Jason Alexander?
Bill Paxton's not in it.
I'm sorry, you got it wrong. Sandra Oh is not in it. Oh. Bill Paxton is in it.
I was so close.
In 1996's Feeling Minnesota, Cameron Diaz plays a woman who's in love with a man named Jax, spelled with two J's, J-J-A-K-S, played by Keanu Reeves.
Oh, a coworker and a best friend.
She's in love with him, even though she happens to be married to his brother, who is more or less like an evil guy. I haven't seen it. I had to base it off a synopsis. Which of these actors is not in Feeling Minnesota, a.k.a. who was not Cameron Diaz's best friend? Vincent D'Onofrio, Delroy Lindo, Courtney Love, or Vince Vaughn? 1996.
The first one.
No, I'm sorry. Vince Vaughn is not Cameron Diaz's best friend.
Damn it. The rest are... Courtney Love is in that movie with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, it's her best friend.
Okay.
She's cut all ties with Courtney Love ever since, you know...
Yeah, Courtney definitely...
starting wine.
Courtney definitely didn't approve of whatever nonsense Cameron Diaz is doing.
Okay. In 1997, Cameron Diaz starred in A Life Less Ordinary, which was Danny Boyle's highly anticipated follow-up to Trainspotting that was sort of a flop. She played a woman named Celine Neville, whom angels from heaven want to set up with Ewan McGregor because God thinks too many people are getting divorced. And
what?
No, I'm not making that up. That's what the movie is about. Who is not her best friend?
God.
Dan Hedaya, Michael K. Williams, Timothy Oliphant, or Delroy Lindo?
Michael K. Williams is not in this.
Michael K. Williams is not her best friend. Oh, my God. Delroy Lindo is just in two of her movies, like back to back. Delroy Lindo used to be in everything. Also in 1986, busy year for Cameron Diaz, she starred in She's the One, a dumb rom-com with a great original song by Tom Petty, written and directed by Ed Burns, who also stars in it as a taxi driver.
Oh God, I was just talking about movies that are that, quote, feel like Ed Burns, because I watched Prime, and I was like, this movie feels like Ed Burns. He's not in it, nor does he have anything to do with it, but it feels very Ed Burns-y. Remember when he had
like
a run
Burns.
Where he just made all the same movie a thousand times?
What's his name? Brian Greenberg?
Yeah.
Is like...
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie feels very like Streets of New York.
Ed Burns like, I'm Irish cat, like I'm a working class guy, like I'm just trying to fall in love with a nice lady. Ugh, my parents.
Ed Burns on a sidewalk yelling up to a brownstone is like half of the movies that came out that year, like in around that time. Yeah. Okay, She's the One.
God, like Ed Burns is like peak. I'm a really good looking guy from a middle class white family.
Yes,
like, why
yes.
isn't my life better?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the One.
She's the One. Yes. Okay. Who is not her best friend in She's the One? Amanda Peet, Leslie Mann, Gretchen Mol, or Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston is in that movie, I remember. Amanda Peet.
I'm sorry, you were right. Gretchen Mol was in every movie that time period, but not in She's
no.
the One. Okay. Great trick. Great trick. Cameron Diaz has a small role as, quote, a neurotic gold digger in the 1997 thriller Keys to Tulsa. Oh, my God.
What
Please
are all
listen
these
to
movies
this line.
That
I know.
Cameron Diaz...
Please.
No wonder she quit Hollywood.
Please listen to this line from the synopsis. Okay, I'm quoting now. Richter is from a privileged background in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and works as a movie reviewer at a local newspaper only because his sour, widowed mother, Cynthia, pulled strings for him to land a job. He is dissatisfied with the direction that his life has taken. He is about to be fired any day from his job because he can't meet deadlines. He lives in a dilapidated farmhouse. He uses and sells drugs behind the scenes for extra cash and is so irresponsible with his life and finances, in which he has gotten so far behind in his bills
what?
That his electricity has just been cut off, which ruins a blind date he has in the opening scene with a neurotic gold digger named Trudy.
She's Trudy.
Yes. Who is not her best friend in this movie, Keys to Tulsa? Eric Stoltz, Mary Tyler Moore, Deborah Kara Unger, or Samantha Mathis?
Samantha Mathis.
You're right. She's not her best friend. Yes. The other people are in it.
Okay.
In 2000, Cameron Diaz was part of the huge ensemble cast of Things You Can Tell Just By Looking at Her, which was a movie about the varied lives and struggles of women, written and directed by a man. She played a, quote, lovely blind woman with an active social life. Who was not her... A lovely blind woman with an active social life. Who was not her best friend in Things You Can Tell Just By Looking at Her? Glenn Close, Salma Hayek, Calista Flockhart, or Holly Hunter?
Who's the last one?
Salma Hayek.
Not in it.
Is not in it. You're right. Okay. Did you know that Cameron Diaz starred in a 2001 drama called The Invisible Circus?
No.
Did you know that it's based on that Jennifer Egan novel?
No.
Did you know that it made $77,000 at the box office?
No, okay. It did?
It did. $77,000.
Nice.
Who wasn't her best friend? Blythe Danner, Jordana Brewster, Robin Tunney,
what?
Or Camilla Bell?
What year was this?
2001.
Camilla Bell.
No, I'm sorry. She was her best friend. She played young Jordana Brewster in this movie. Robin Tunney is not in this movie. Okay. In 2009, Cameron Diaz starred in an adaptation of Jodi Picoult's My Sister's Keeper, which was actually a pretty huge hit. It was directed by one of the Cassavetes kids, Nick. Cameron won the 2009 American Latino Media Arts Award for Outstanding Actress in a Motion Picture.
Good for her.
But who is not her best friend in it? Alec Baldwin, Joan Cusack, Abigail Breslin, or Dakota Fanning?
Breslin?
Oh, I'm sorry. She is in it. Dakota Fanning is not her best friend. Here's the fun fact. This is ending with a bang. This is from the Wikipedia. Upon the original creation of the film adaptation, sisters Dakota and Elle Fanning were cast to play Kate and Anna, respectively. However, when Dakota heard that she would be required to shave her head for the role, she dropped out of the film, as did Elle. The two sisters were replaced with Abigail Breslin and Anna Fitzgerald.
Who was like, I'll shave my head.
Abigail Breslin and Sophia Veselyeva.
Wow.
Yes. Abigail Breslin was fine shaving her head.
Wow. That's how much the Fannings had faith they'd make it, was they didn't want to shave their head for this role.
I love the sister solidarity there too. Anyway, that's my dumb game. It's just like Cameron Diaz has been in a lot of movies that I have not seen.
Now I understand how many friends she has and former colleagues, and also why she quit Hollywood, because it's just too many movies. Too many movies. I know.
Now we can do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Tiger print thong bikini as she relaxed with friends aboard her luxury yacht during a 17,000 pound a night Corfu holiday. That's one thing she did.
Rita got the weird thing that Rita gets, which is she got press for the thing that she was doing, which means she got it for free, in my guess. Like,
what do you mean?
We got a Daily Mail article that's just inside Rita Ora's 17,000 pound a night, like, villa in Corfu.
Oh,
yeah.
Which means to me, it has its own 78-foot private yacht, which means to me that Rita got it for free because, like, then they were able to sell this story. Hey, like, promote this, and then you can mention Rita after it, which, like, makes total sense to me. So, but that's how you can tell. It's like Rita Ora is not paying 17,000 pounds a night for this villa and yacht.
Yeah, I remember when the celebrities were doing that sort of, like, en masse, like, for Verbo or whatever, and they were all staying at fancy houses and talking about it on their Instagrams.
It was for Verbo. So, yeah, this one is just clearly she got to stay here, and I think she's still there or something. And that's the press that she got for them.
The funniest thing Rita's up to this week is the photo that Vera Ora posted of Rita, like, dancing on a yacht. And it says, and Vera captioned it, me after COVID is over, hope for the future. And it's like,
not to be rude, but that's Rita during the COVID.
During COVID. Vera, your daughter has never stopped being like this.
Yeah, like,
do you not realize how, like, kind of dark this is?
It's just funny to me that Vera's like, oh, me after. It's like, no, that's actually Rita during. You know, like, it's not like a from before picture, it's a from currently picture. So maybe go talk to your daughter and be like, not now, you know? Not now.
It's really her during. It's been her the whole time.
It's actually her during. Yeah.
She got new nails and she's been listening to Christina Milian, which same. I liked. It was cute that she was listening to Christina Milian.
Not new nails, but I can relate on the Christina Milian. I have not forgotten the song AM to PM, as Rita says, never forget. I haven't forgotten it, so.
No. Is that all she's up to this week? Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. We'll be back on Friday with an episode of Who's There. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. We might play your calls on one of those episodes. Support us on patreon.com/WHOWeekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. You can buy our hats on our website.
Oh, yeah. Our hats are back for sale. The green ones. The green, I don't know, hats are back in stock. You should check those out. And our Patreon's fun because we're doing... we're talking about The Sopranos. We talked about Real House of Potomac. We're doing
some
we played a game about Kirsten Dunst. Exclusive. you know,
it's all, who knows what you're gonna get in any of these episodes. It's always fun. And yeah, we'll see you on Friday. Bye, everyone. Have
Bye.
A good week. Bye.
Yeah, and that MacBook that belongs.